I believe, you know, it says in one of the parables of Christ, he says, you know, what man hath a servant? And when he comes home, says to him, ah, oh, you've been serving me all day. Great. You know, you just take it easy now. No, he says, when the master returns, he says, rise and serve me. And when Christ comes, he's going to raise us up and he's going to say, okay, now serve me. You said you wanted to serve God. Well, it's not going to stop then. A lot of people have this view that when Jesus returns, it's going to be like time for a vacation. No, wrong. Time to fulfill the prophets. Time to fulfill the kingdom of God. The work is just beginning. It'll be 1,000 years, and we will teach the world. We will govern the world, and then much of the world will again turn against us. And how that happens is going to be played out and understood best then. But it is prophesied here. And you would think, knowing it, that they wouldn't do it. But there's a lot of things in the scriptures. It's there and it's written and they do it anyways. It's because they believe it not. Because they believe the lies that they are told by the devil. If you believe his lies now, why wouldn't you believe him then? You know? So when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, verse 7 says, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. A great host. He's going to have a great host as numerous as the sands of the sea. And that's unbelievable. But there it is written, and I believe it. And I could see several ways that could come about. But like I said, it's all speculation until that time. But we know he's going to deceive them. They're going to believe him. He's going to tell them lies. That's pretty simple. He is in a prison. That is what the bottomless pit is. It is a prison. It speaks of this also, I believe, in was it Peter who mentioned the angels that sin but cast them down to hell, and there it is, Tartarus, the prison. Now, the word Tartarus comes from the Greek mythology, but it means the prison of the giants, and John used the term the bottomless pit, the pit of the abyss, abusos. It is truly a holding place, a place where of chains and prisons, so to speak. I mean, I don't know, is the chain literal? Well, it's a spiritual chain. It holds him. You know, whatever. He's going to be held, chained, sealed. God uses all kinds of our terminology so we can understand. By his power, he's going to be put down, restrained, and held in a special place. So they come. Verse 9, and they went up upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And that word are is not there in the Greek. That's one supplied by the King James. But it's unfortunate because it gives you the impression that, oh, they're there and they're suffering. And well, whatever. It's a symbolic thing. The beast, the false prophet, these are two beasts. So I don't really worry too much about the beast and the false prophet. You could easily supply another verb here. You could say where the beast and the false prophet were cast and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So there is the one place in the Bible where it mentions eternal torment in its truest sense, tormented forever and ever. I already covered in chapter 14 how the place and the nature of what is happening does not fit with the lake of fire. They are tormented in his presence. But what about this word torment? What does it mean? Well, it means torment. But it comes from the word itself in Greek, basanizo or basanismos, whatever form, it comes from the idea of a touchstone. And the idea was you would use a touchstone to test precious metals, to see what they were made of. And so from that, it comes the idea of an examination. of something. It came to mean torture because you would basically take an examination to see the guilt or innocence of a person. And how would they do this? They would torture them. And so Bassanismo indicates a kind of an examination. Now, is this, the use of this word here, a reason for us to assume that God's lake of fire is some sort of medieval torture chamber? As written of by Dante and all these fictional imagination writers. Is that what it says? Because the idea of an examination, there's scripture on this in Isaiah chapter 66, has this to say about, well, the lake of fire. And I say that because Christ referred to Isaiah 66. If your eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into Gehenna. Now in Mark, when he had talked about that, he also mentioned where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That is a specific quote of Isaiah chapter 66, which I'm going to read you right now. Isaiah 66 verse 22 says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh." They will go forth and look upon the carcasses. The idea of undying worms does not imply undying souls. It implies that if the action of the worms is to never cease, they will completely devour whatever is there. Like, there's nothing more disgusting than something half eaten by worms. But if the worms never stop eating, the idea is that they will consume completely. If fire is not quenched, you know, if you want to torture someone with the specific purpose of causing pain, I'm talking about conventional torture, where you're actually, the purpose is not really to get anything out of it, just to actually just inflict suffering. To torture implies you can't just have an unquenchable fire. You've got to flame them and then quench them and flame. I mean, that's the medieval idea of torture. But the idea, I think, from the scripture is not of torment in the sense of a medieval torture chamber,